The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We have made it to the final hour of the week, and we certainly appreciate you coming along for the ride. One more hour to go. Let's get right back to the calls, and Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Uncle Paul.
Good afternoon, my nephew.
I'll call you Uncle Paul.
I like that. That could be my new name.
Well, you stole a little bit of my thunder. Shame on you. But I wanted to call and tell the Georgia fans, calm down. They won the championship 1 year apart from us in the 80s. Us being Clemson, of course. And we had to wait a long time. But the wait was worth it. Look what we're experiencing now. And the coach we have did not start out burning bridges down. To be honest, I was ready to get rid of him after about the second year. But we had to be patient and let him develop a program of his own. And Kirby Smart didn't inherit a Rolls Royce. He got a Lexus, but not a Rolls Royce. Now he's trying to build it up to a Rolls Royce. And I think he's doing a pretty good job. How about you?
I totally agree. And you know, I think in the history of college football, the job that that Dabo Sweeney did is going to go down as one of the most remarkable, because that program just was going sideways, as you know.
Oh, God, he inherited a Volkswagen.
He did.
I mean, let's be honest.
I've never done car comparisons to football, but I'm going to have to start doing this from now on.
Well, Tommy Bowden did not take us to the mountaintop. I mean, he had the last name that was supposed to take us to the.
Yeah, he took you to a couple of like molehills, but not the mountaintop. You're right.
But anyway, all this hoopla. Who's Georgia going to find better than Kirby Smart? He's one of the three or four best coaches in the country.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, first of all, he has a pedigree. He went to the school. He's from there. He grew up in the state, and he's a fantastic coach.
If they be patient, they'll end up with a program that dominates the SEC eventually, because Nick Saban ain't going to stay for – well, he might stay to his 100. I should take that back.
Yeah, it's interesting, Mitch, about Saban. A couple of – 2-3 years ago, I was leading the parade. We all thought Saban was going to leave soon. Now it's a he'll never leave. I mean, which one is it?
Well, you know, give the man credit. He's good. He's great.
Of course.
And I was thinking about this while I was on hold. You may agree, you may not. It used to be recruits came to schools to win championships. Now they're coming to school for those 3 years that they have a chance to win a championship, but they're coming to school to develop, because they got to stay 3 years anyway. They've come to school to develop a higher ranking at the end of those 3 years, if they stay three and not four. And the coaches like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart are putting their behinds in the pros, and that's why their programs are doing what they're doing.
Oh, sure. No, if you're a top 50 recruit right now, it's not about where your dad or granddad went to school. It's about winning championships on one ledger, and on the other, you know, how am I going to develop so I can make my mark in the NFL? And it's unquestionably true that there are better places to go than others if you want to be a pro.
Well, if I was a GM in the NFL, and I'm not saying this in any way to slight any other team, but I would want a Nick Saban coached player. Because because we know he has taken 3 years to develop that player. So, you know, that's why the LSUs are trying to catch up with the Alabamas, and, you know, that's why North Carolina's trying to catch up with Clemson. And North Carolina's doing a pretty good job with Mac Jones.
No, you're right. Hey, Mac, Mitch, thank you very much. Let me offer this. I know that we have a lot of baseball fans watching, especially getting ready to watch the Arkansas-Ole Miss game. I mean, you've got two of the top three teams in the country that were scheduled to follow us. That game has been pushed back 2 hours. It will be played, and it will start at, let's see, 9 Eastern. That would be 8. It'd be 8 Central time. But coverage, when we go off here in 50 minutes, we will then bounce around to various games. So we'll still have coverage of games. That game, though, will start a little bit late. Let's get to some more calls here. And Cowboy is up next. Hello, Cowboy. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, bud?
We are doing really well. Thank you.
You know, every time I turn on TV and watch you, man, you just don't ever seem to age, man. What's the formula?
Thank you.
Yeah. Y'all are looking well. I'm looking at these tweets and everything, and these Georgia fans, you know, blowing it out, talking about they're going to have it all. What's your take on that, Paul? What do you see?
I have a couple of issues with Georgia winning it all. I think they're a candidate to get to the Final Four. That's probably as far as I would go right now.
Yeah, I'd probably say that. That's possible. But, you know, you have to get past Bama. There's no doubt about that.
Let me offer you a scenario where they don't have to get past Bama. It's tricky, though. They have two choices to get to the playoffs this year. They either better beat Clemson in the first game and hope they play Alabama a close game, or if they lose to Clemson, they'll have to beat Alabama. So they have a miserably difficult schedule with probably the top two teams in the country on this, either, you know, not on the schedule, one on the schedule, one likely to be the championship game. So they have an intriguing path.
Well, yeah, I would say that, but look at Clemson also. They've got a lot of injuries, and their starting quarterback, they don't have a backup right now. So they got a lot of issues if something was to happen to their starting quarterback. So it's going to be an interesting season, no doubt.
Well, great to hear from you. You be well. Take care of yourself. Chad is up next in Athens. Hello, Chad. Chad, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Thank you. Is Mitch done talking yet?
No. He may still be talking, but he's not going to be heard by you. So.
Okay, good. So I was calling to ask about the Georgia secondary. Obviously, we had some key departures with Eric Stokes, Campbell, and LeCount, but we have some new talent coming in with Tyke Smith, the transfer, and we got Ringo back. What's your take on them, and do you think it will be any of a struggle this year?
Chad, right now, I think Georgia looks like at worst an 11-1 team. I think the defense, the defense last year was a little bit of a misnomer anyway because you had so many injuries. So I think the defense overall will be better as long as those injuries can be avoided. That was the problem last year. Georgia had quarterback issues at the beginning, and then the defensive injuries just piled on top of one another. Let me continue with more phone calls. And Dan is in North Carolina. Hello, Dan. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I wanted to ask you your opinion. You know, we've heard some things about Justin Fields and him not being a hard worker and whatnot. I want to know what you think. Is that coming from Georgia? I mean, he was a backup there. They ran some plays for him. There were some issues there, and I think it's legitimate that why he transferred and why he transferred and went somewhere else and played. But he was a really big recruit, and now, you know, there's things that are coming out about him that he's not a hard worker, first guy in, first guy out, that kind of stuff. And I don't know. Is that coming from Georgia?
Dan, I don't think
from Ohio State.
Yeah, Dan, I don't believe it's coming from Georgia. Yeah, I mean, could you have heard something like that from Georgia? Yes, but I don't think he ever had a fair shake at Georgia. The circumstances were obvious. Jake Fromm was a very accomplished quarterback. I don't even think these are real issues. I think these are manufactured. And I think you have a talk show, a former football player who helped to propagate this a couple of weeks ago. I frankly think Justin Fields is a phenomenal quarterback, and I might consider, depending on the circumstances. I understand the Mac Jones situation to San Francisco, but I think I would take him next after that.
Well, I think he's phenomenal. I hope he does great in the NFL. We never know, like, when we see these guys, he come out of college. But he kicked the crap out of Clemson. I'll tell you.
No,
that.
When you look at that performance, that is his ceiling. And I understand it was a COVID year. People were inconsistent. But I am a big believer in Justin Fields, both on and off the field. Thank you for the call. We're heading to a break. It's been a fun show, and we still have 45 minutes to go. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And a reminder, there is plenty of baseball tonight, and the Arkansas Ole Miss game, which was originally scheduled for 7, has been pushed back for weather. It will begin 9 Eastern, 8 in Oxford, and until then, we'll have plenty of bouncing around various games for your Friday night entertainment. Welcome back to the program, and let's check in with Tim, who is in South Carolina. Hello, Tim.
Hey, how you doing today, Mr. Feinbaum?
Very well.
I just heard Mitch mention that Nick Saban might be at Alabama, until he's 100, but we already know how long he's going to be there until 2032 because your friend Donovan wrote about it in his book. Remember what he said?
No. What did he say?
He said Alabama would be in the wasteland for 25 years, with the exception of that 1 year in 92. And then, once they reach the promised land of football again, it would last for 25 years.
Oh, I do remember that now. You're absolutely right.
So I just thought I would mention that for all the folks who keep wanting Nick Saban to lead. Obviously, it's just a joke.
No, I got it, but I'm not so sure it's a joke.
I have three certainties in my life. Okay. One, I'll always be an Alabama fan. Two, I'll always be a Braves fan. And three, no matter how long I live in South Carolina, I'll never understand what Cat Daddy says. All right.
Well, thank you, Tim. The last part of that was quite intriguing. Let's Logan is up next. Good afternoon, Logan.
Hey, Paul, how's it going? Happy Friday to you.
You got it, bud.
Yeah, great show. I just had to call in today and speak a little bit about Georgia fans. I didn't want to bring any negativity to the show, but I'm constantly just amazed at how self-important some of their fans, not all of them, but, you know, I've my sister lives in Atlanta, so I've been there a lot. I've been around a lot of Georgia fans, and, you know, Auburn fans are a different breed, but Georgia, they're some of the most self-important, arrogant fans, you know, for a team that hasn't won since 1980. They just rub me the wrong way. And I know, you know, they're not even really a rival of Alabama, but I don't understand how you can come on here and be upset with Kirby Smart. I think it was the guy that called in yesterday, and he was trying to make a case that Kirby Smart was calling the offensive plays or something. I mean, that, like, where do they come up with this crazy stuff? You know, I don't get it. But I think they have a good chance this year. I mean, they do have a tough schedule with Clemson. But
yeah, but Logan, they do not have to beat Clemson. I mean that you can lose a game, and yeah, you know, like I said previously, you know, they have to pick their poison. They're going to have to beat either Clemson or Alabama or somebody in that SEC right. championship game. But I don't think they have to beat both.
No, I agree. I mean, that's the good thing about having such a powerful opponent at the start of the season. You know, if they play well and they lose that game, you know, that's the first game of the season, so people forget that. But, yeah, they're going to have to win one of those games for sure. But I don't know. I'm watching all this stuff about Mac Jones, and I'm very impressed. Do you really think that he's going to get taken third overall? And what do you think? I know you're
Logan,
not
addressed. I can tell you that I have no more information than you do, and I have to trust the experts that we talk to, but I can also tell you that there's a lot of deception that goes on in the NFL, and reporters have no choice but to believe what people tell them. That doesn't mean it's the truth, though.
Exactly. And I mean, yesterday I talked a little bit. I'm not a big Justin Fields guy, so I would be really surprised if they were to come in and take him over Mac Jones. I think that would be a big mistake.
And by the way, Logan, I mean, Mac Jones is going to go very high. If he doesn't go three and he goes six or seven, what's the big deal?
Well, as long as he doesn't go to the Panthers or the Saints, I'll be fine, Paul.
Well, he's not going to the Panthers because, you know, they traded for – I mean, by the way, he could have gone to the Panthers, but not anymore.
Right, yeah, they've already showed their hand, which I think was a mistake, but that's great. Being a Falcons fan, that's awesome. One thing I want to say, though, I never got to speak about Schnellenberger. I always respected the guy. He was a little bit before my time, what he did in Miami, but – you know, it's funny hearing that. I was probably about 4 years old when – 4 or 5 when Bear Bryant retired. And hearing all the intrigue that was going on with him and Stallings and Bobby Bowden, that's always interesting to hear. Somebody needs to write a book on that. I don't know. Maybe he's a man to do it.
The Bowden came later. When Coach Bryant retired, the names that you heard were Stallings – Schnellenberger a little bit. Mal Moore was another one that a lot of people thought would get the job because he was Coach Stallings' right-hand man.
Oh, gosh. I mean, no offense to Mal Moore. I never thought he was that great of an offensive coordinator. I mean, he did great hiring Saban, but, yeah, that might have been his
desire. I may have told you the story once before, but, Logan, the day that Coach Bryant announced his retirement afterwards, back then you could go anywhere. You can't do it anymore on a football operation, but I went in to see Mal Moore and try to interview him, and I mean, I have never seen a sicker man in my life because he really thought he had the job, and then I called Stallings the next day, and it was the exact same story. And
wow.
You know, Coach Bryant had a way, and I don't say he was being deceptive, but he whenever a coach would talk about leaving Alabama, he would tell him, according to the storyline, that, hey, listen, don't leave. You got a really good chance to be my replacement. And there are probably 10, right. 10 coaches who believe that.
Oh, I'm sure. Even Auburn's coach.
He told when Pat Dye called him.
Pat Dye, yeah.
To say he was going to Auburn, he said, Pat, you know, don't do it. Yeah. He said, you could replace me. And wow. Pat said, I think Pat said, they ain't hiring me. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I went to Georgia.
Right, exactly. But, you know, I mean, it made me really sad to know that I guess Coach Bryant didn't really have much say in that at all, according to what your sources said.
I'm going to open the investigation again and talk to some more people, because I've always felt that he did not choose his successor. Now, I think it was Logan Young who came up to me. I remember Logan Young from – he came up to me. We had dinner one night, and this was in the midst of his controversy with Alabama, and he swore Perkins that Coach Bryant really liked Perkins, but I'm not sure I believe it.
I don't believe it, Paul. But, you know, like I said, maybe you're the man to get those answers, and I defer to your side of history.
Well, all I can do, Logan, because revisionist history is not how I want to understand history. And since I reported the story in real time, I am going to remember my instincts at the time, and I told you what they were the other day, and I don't believe Perkins was his guy. But, hey, I'm sure somebody has a different view of history now, nearly 40 years later.
Well, I'm on your side, Paul, so hopefully we can get to the bottom of this once for all
we will.
At some point. All right, thanks, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I don't know why it's so important, but apparently it is. How about Cody in Kentucky? You're on the air. Hey, Cody.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
We are doing great.
Hold on a second. Let me get y'all a speaker.
Take Sorry. Your time.
How you doing today, buddy?
Cody, all good here.
I got a question. What do you think Kentucky has a legit chance of football to win the East next year?
Cody, I do not. You asked me for a straight answer. I would think their odds are pretty slim. I do think they have a chance to maybe make a run at the second. Yeah, I think that's legitimate, but I do not see them taking Georgia out.
Do you think it'd be better than last year's record? I mean,
I think last year was an aberration, and for a lot of reason. We talked to Coach Stoops about it 2-3 weeks ago, and you know, he lost to one of his top assistants. I think it had a tremendously negative effect on his team, probably more than anyone could have predicted. The season was so hard. I mean, you know, had that game at Tennessee when they looked like the best team in the country, and then they should have beaten Auburn in the opener, and maybe it would have been different. But I don't think anybody should pay attention to last year. I really don't.
Do you think the new offensive coordinator coming in will help with that?
Yes, I hear great things about him. I don't know him, but he has a big-time reputation. Hey, thank you for the call. We still have 30 minutes to go here on a Friday afternoon, almost Friday night. Stick around. Final 30 minutes of this week, straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back. Final 30 minutes of the show. Paul is in Charlotte, and you're on the air. Hello, Paul.
Paul, how's your day? Hope it's well.
It's great. Thank you.
Question for you with the Masters. Just got a chance to sit down. They were showing the old ball coach, you get to pick your first, your top four of any coach versus top four any players in SEC ever, any sport. Who are the top on either team? I'm guessing old ball coach is in there somewhere.
Yeah, so I mean, we're talking about. Let me make sure I understand you, Paul. We're either coaches or players.
Yeah, coaches versus players. You got eight picks.
Okay. Well, so. Yeah, we're talking football, right? Just to make it simple.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go. I'll put the. Is this in a golf match?
Right.
Well, yeah, I definitely want Steven there. That goes without saying. I'm trying to think of another coach who plays that kind of golf.
I didn't know if any of the old players, if any of them had a chance and. At this kind of level.
Yeah, I've played with a number of coaches and players. Spurrier is by far the best coach I've seen play. I'm struggling here to think of a. I mean, Saban is a good golfer, but I would not put him in that category. I mean, I've played golf with Steve Spurrier probably 8 or 10 times, and I've never seen him have a bad round.
There are probably some good players in there too.
I'm trying to. We will do some research on this because I just don't know. I mean, there are some golfers. There are some athletes that are scratch golfers. Like Curry is a scratch golfer. He's
Peyton.
Peyton. A couple other. You know, I'm trying to think. Not Barkley, by the way. I have played with him before. He is as bad as you think he is. Although I did remember,
and just as entertaining.
Yeah, well, more entertaining, frankly. I need to go to work on that because I am. I'm really not. I would definitely put Peyton in that list. I think he probably could hold his own very well. Can you imagine Spurrier versus Peyton in a golf golf match?
They should play it.
Man.
Yeah, that's a good Saturday.
You don't think Spurrier would be harassing him? Hey, I'm 4-0 against you right now. Is this going to change at any time?
Yeah. Four holes.
Exactly. Paul, I am
enjoying the show.
Paul, the second the show ends tonight, I'm going to the USGA handicap, and I will research that one efficiently. Hey, thank you for the call.
Take care.
That's a cool one. I never thought about that before. Harry is up next in Florida. Hello, Harry.
Hey, Paul. You asked about interesting master stories.
Right.
And I have actually been there twice. My son is a pastor, and his first assignment out of seminary was in Augusta. And several members of his conversation had passes. And they gave him passes on Thursday and Friday because they were only interested in going on Saturday and Sunday. So for 2 years, I got to go down there on a free pass and walk the grounds and see the Masters, and it's absolutely the most beautiful place I've ever been. And their sandwiches are great, too,
they
by
are.
The way. But anyhow, to add to the story, my son is an associate pastor. He didn't make that big of a salary. And so he got a part-time job caddying for the regular members of Augusta National. And at the end of the season, they had a caddy's day, and my son actually got to play the thing. And I thought that was very interesting.
Harry, I am familiar with that caddy's day. I was invited to play in that many, many years ago. And it's a long story, and I won't bore you. But at the end of the year, the caddies are able to invite people to come. And you can literally play all day, if I remember correctly.
That is correct, and it's at the end of the season. At that time, shortly thereafter, Augusta closes down over the summer.
Yeah, exactly. I will tell you the story, Harry. You'll get a kick out of it because I just mentioned. So, 30 years ago, I had just gotten married, and was not making very much money. But you know, again, I was a newlywed, And I knew Charles Barkley very well. And his lawyer called. Charles sent me a message and said, "Hey, I got something you may be interested in. Call Tom, who's my lawyer." So I called the guy, and he said, "Charles knew the caddy master at Augusta National, and he said that, you know, if the two he had a pass for two people to play." Right around Memorial Day, you could play 36 holes and the par three. And I don't know what the circumstances were with your son, Harry, but I think it was going to cost $750. And I that's how the caddies make money. You know, they're able to sell their two spots, and you know, and I think it's $750 a piece. And I told my wife, and I said, "It's going to cost $750. We're going to drive over to Augusta and come back." And she said, "Don't you think that's an outrageous amount of money? We just got married." I did not want to say, do you have any earthly idea what you're talking about? Because I didn't have a lot of money, but, I'd never played at Augusta. And she said, "I bet they won't even have water. I mean, you'll be like, you'll just have to, you know." I said, "Well, I don't know." So it turned out the guy called me a couple of days later. He took somebody else. He said that, you know, they fed them breakfast. They had drinks all over the golf course. They played the par three. They had lunch. He said it was like the greatest day of his life. And by the way, that was 30 years ago. I still haven't played Augusta National.
Well, my son got to play it, and it was more than 30 years ago. I don't remember exactly how long, but I know that when I got to see it, that Greg Norman was playing.
Well, hey, Harry, thank you for the call. And by the way, I am not making great to hear from you. I'm not making light of $750 for an all-day round of golf, but I know people that would spend, well, I don't even know how much they would spend to play all day long at Augusta National. And anyway, I have bigger regrets in my life, but I do remind my wife of that occasionally.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we made it to the end of the week. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.